This past Thursday and Friday, the Agricultural Economics Department at K-State hosted its annual Risk and Profit Conference. One of the featured speakers they invited back in for the conference, well, he'll be a familiar voice to those of you who have listened to this broadcast over the many years. He, for a long while, was the Research and Extension Grain Market Economist here at K-State. He's now in the private sector, working with an outfit called Ag Resource. It's our pleasure to have Bill Tierney back Mike's side again. Bill, welcome back to Kansas State.
Thank you, Eric. For the last 5 years, I've been working for Ag Resource Company, which is a market analysis and advisory company. We're not a brokerage firm. We just do analysis and give people advice. Been doing that for 5 years, headquartered out of Chicago.
So when you come to the Risk and Profit Conference and you're invited to speak about the long-term grain outlook, how long a term are you actually sharing on?
Well, I restrict myself to just a five-year outlook, and I only look at wheat, corn, and soybeans, and what I think are the major drivers that are going to be influencing markets. So what I presented was our view on where we think agricultural markets for the principal crops the U.S. produces, where they're going to go in the next 5 years. I'm not addressing livestock because I don't know anything about livestock. But obviously, there are implications. If you think crop prices are going to go up, then that's going to put profit pressures on the livestock sector and production's likely to contract. If you think prices are going to go down, that's going to probably improve profitability, everything else being the same, and possibly trigger further expansion. My view is that we're likely to see crop prices continue to fall over the next 5 years.
From present day levels, as a matter of fact, then, you think that there's a bearish tone to the markets?
I think it's more than a tone. I think it's more like a symphony.
Wow. And the drivers of that continued drifting lower would be what? The primary drivers?
Supply, supply, supply.
It's that simple.
It's that simple in the face of a lack of the demand drivers that we saw in the past. Now, there are some very critical assumptions. One critical assumption: how do you forecast yields over the next 5 years? I don't know. What do you assume?
You're assuming trend yields.
Thank you very much, Eric. I can tell we're right back in the groove. Yeah, trend yields. What exactly is trend yield? Well, we're going to have to redefine what trend yields are thanks to last Friday's projection by the USDA in their August crop report. They projected for the August crop report the highest yield ever in the August crop report for corn, 175.1, and for soybeans, 48.9, something like that. And we're going to have to redefine slightly. It's only one data point in, let's say, 30 years, but still, it's going to bump up that trend yield. So we assume trend yields. Now, one of the things that contributed to the bull market that started in 2005 and ended in about 2012. One of the things was the fact that we did not get trend yields. In fact, for 4 years in a row, 2009, 10, 11, and then 12, we actually had below trend yields for corn, and I believe there was no period in time going back to at least the 30s that you saw 4 years in a row, consecutive years in a row, where corn yields fell below trend. And then in 2012, we had the worst drought in 50 years. So we had 3 years of disappointing yields, and then we had 2012, which was the worst drought in 50 years. So one of the things, when I say supply, 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 I'm assuming that that doesn't happen again. Why? Because I can't forecast it. What I can forecast with some statistical reliability, not guarantee, is that we're going to have trend yields. So if you take trend yields, and then if you take key factors in the demand outlook, and then you take key factors in policy developments, and you combine those, what you end up with is accumulation of stocks here in the United States, which has a price-depressing effect.
So when you look at the demand side of the equation, there isn't much of anything out there to get enthused about in terms of a hike in demand, be it for grains, be it using grains for fuel, what have you?
I think to a large extent, one of the policy assumptions that most people make, and I certainly agree with that, is that biofuel mandates are not likely to expand over the next 5 years, and therefore we're not likely to see an expansion of the consumption of agricultural crops for the purposes of producing fuel. We're not going to see it. We did see it from 2005 to about 2012. We're not, in all likelihood, going to see that here in the United States or globally. There is going to be a global increase in consumption of the agricultural products. We talked about wheat, corn, soybeans. But we're not going to be the beneficiary of it. And the reason for that is that we have much greater competition in the agricultural markets than we did when I left 13 years ago. That's clearly the case in wheat. Clearly the case in wheat. USDA is projecting that Russia alone is going to produce 72 million metric tons of wheat versus the U.S. crop of 63. Now, both countries have record yields, but Russia is going to produce 72 million metric tons. The United States is going to produce 63 million metric tons. South America already is the world's largest producer of soybeans and largest exporter of soybeans and soy meal. Only in the area of corn is the U.S. still the 800-pound gorilla. But actually, our weight has been pared down. We're now about a 500-pound gorilla. So increasingly, over the last 15 years, and I think it's going to continue in the future, we're not going to be the beneficiary of increasing consumption, global consumption. That demand is going to grow, but it's going to be captured by our major competitors.
So if weaker prices are ahead, we're looking presently at $4 wheat, roughly, $3 corn, roughly, approximately $9, $9.50 soybeans. How much lower can these prices go over the next 5 years?
I think we're going to go back to where we were in the mid and early 2000s. So just take a look at a chart. I think we're going to be building U.S. ending stocks back to the level that we were at there. The question is whether or not those same ending stocks will have the same impact on the marketplace. In the case of wheat, U.S. ending stocks really are not important in determining global wheat prices. It's Russian ending stocks of wheat. It's not U.S. In the case of corn, it's still very important what U.S. stocks are. In the case of soybeans, increasingly it's a hybrid. It's a combination of the stocks that are held both in the United States, Argentina, and Brazil. But over time, more and more of those stocks and production and share of the global market will be from Brazil and Argentina for soybeans. So I think we're going to go back to the same stocks levels that we were then, and I think we're going to see prices approximately the same levels that we were in the early 2000s, 2005, before the biofuel mandate, which was passed in August of 2005.
You addressed producers at the Risk and Profit Conference. Were you able to offer any glimmer of hope or a note of advice on how to weather this potential economic storm?
Well, I think we're going back into an environment where you're going to have volatility in commodity markets. The volatility is going to be associated with unexpected crop problems, not only here in the United States, but crop problems in South America, crop problems in Europe, crop problems in the Black Sea. And one of these years, there potentially could be a crop problem in China. So I think these crop problems, which are unforecastable, but which we know will occur, will present relatively short-term pricing opportunities. And I think what producers need to do is wait for those opportunities, and when they come, sell into those opportunities. But I think the sustained rally that we saw in the markets from 2005 to 2012 is not in the cards the way I look at the cards at this time. So I think we'll have to go back and look for a short-term marketplace. Of the markets, the ones that have the greatest potential volatility is wheat, because the world wheat price leadership is in the former Soviet Union, and that is an area that is high-risk agriculture, huge variability in terms of production. Secondly, you have a potential for a rally in soybeans, because I think over time, soybean stocks will be manageable compared to what I think are going to be burdensome stocks of corn and burdensome stocks of wheat. Of the three commodities, wheat, corn, and soybeans, right now, I think soybeans is definitely the one market to look for making sales, possibly a couple years out.
And for corn producers, lastly, be very astute about short-term market windows, it sounds.
Yeah, but by short terms, I mean summer drought rallies. And those things last anywhere from mid-June to early September. So in that three-month time window, there could be opportunities to price the crops that are 40 to 60 cents above what they might be by the time harvest rolls around. That can be important in terms of adding to the bottom line.
Bill, a pleasure. Good luck with your current and future endeavors, and hope to see you again soon.
Thank you, Eric. Maybe they'll have me back next year.
They very well might. Bill Tierney is with Ag Resource out of Chicago. Again, as we noted earlier, a longtime grain market economist with K-State Research and Extension, and the featured speaker at this year's Risk and Profit Conference at Kansas State University with the longer-term view on the grain price outlook.